it's a joy and an honor to do what I do. I love what I do. I don't know why I'm crying, but it must be because I'm a dad now. But I don't know, just watching that, I was like, I'm going to look back on this one day, and these are good days. I got a good youth group, good kids, and I'm proud of them, and I love them, I appreciate them. So we'll let someone else talk. They can actually talk. So anybody else wants to give a testimony, come on up. I know Doran said she wanted to, JW. Anybody else want to? That's about all that's left. So y'all come on up and do what you're going to do.
Okay. Hi, I'm Doran Johnson. You already know we went to New York and we got to help out in the church. And I'd just like to start my testimony off. I know y'all have already heard this a million times, but thank you so much to every single one of y'all that supported us and got us there. There's absolutely no way. I was one of the teens that, you know, when it was first come up, that $940, it was a no. Like, it was a definite, there's no way I can do that. But, you know, with convincing from Brother Chad and just from help from every single one of you that rented a teen, that bought a $300 cake, that bought sheets, that even your prayers just, you know, there's no way we would have gotten even halfway through this trip without all of y'all. So thank y'all so much. It means more than y'all will ever be able to know. And thank you, Miss Phyllis, for putting up with us and driving us. You're amazing. So how God worked in my life this week. I know you heard Sarah Owens talk about it, but Miss Sarah did a lesson on grace. And she already read the verse, but I'm going to read it one more time because it is just a powerful verse. It's Galatians 2:21. It goes, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And her topic was, how heavy is grace to you? How heavy is grace in your life? And, you know, when she first said it, I didn't think much of it because grace, to me, was such a Sunday school word. You know, it was just, you know, grace. It's something that, you know, God gives us. It's good. It's great. Woohoo. That's the end of it. But she really drove it home that if you frustrate the grace of God, if you, you know, push it aside as just simply a Sunday school answer, if you don't realize that it's God, you know, declaring you innocent of all the sin, of all of the darkness in your life, if you don't realize the heaviness and the important aspect of grace, then you're basically saying that he sent his son to die in vain. You're demeaning that sacrifice. And I was doing it, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And so that really hit home with me. And she took it even deeper to say that if you don't realize how important his grace is to you, how are you supposed to show it to others? And when you're walking through the streets of New York, there's poverty everywhere. It's there, and there's no way you can walk down the street and not see it. And just having to think that God, that's how we were kind of in God's eyes. We didn't have anything. We were in a horrible situation. We had nothing to offer him, yet he loved us anyways. Yet he gave us grace. Yet he decided that we were worth loving. And just when you're walking through the streets of New York with that mindset, looking at each person, realizing God created them, God saw importance enough to create them despite their situation, despite what choices they may have made to get there, God loved them enough to create them. You have no right not to love them just as he does. You have no right to not love God's creation. And you have no right to demean them or anything, think any less of them, because they are God's creation. And in God's eyes, he loves them as much as he loves you. And just walking through New York with that mindset, it really just drove home the fact that that's a mission field. New York is a mission field. And you wouldn't think of it. When you think of New York, you think of Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, you know, sightseeing, you know, but it's a mission field and it is in need. And so that's, you know, that's kind of what really drove home in my life from this trip. But again, thank y'all all so much for sending us. Y'all don't know how grateful that I am, every single one of you. Y'all are just amazing, and thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Hello, my name is John William Stevens, and I would like to thank everyone who helped us get to New York. I would like to thank Miss Phyllis for driving us there and dealing with us. I would like to thank Brother Chad for setting up this whole trip. And the thing I learned from all this New York, I learned that we take way too much for granted with all the homeless people that they have there. All they ask for is $2, and we take that for granted. And we have way too much. We don't have to worry about where we're going to stay, where we're going to get our next meal. We just take way too much for granted, and that's what I got from this trip.
Hello, I'm Jackson Myers, and this is my second mission trip I've ever been on in my life. I say my first was with the college I work with now as a BCM, Baptist Collegiate Ministries, when we went back in near the springtime, but I went as a chaperone this time, and that's kind of weird because, you know, I don't know, I'm not used to that yet. But anyway, it was just great, you know, seeing all these young people really work together. It was crazy seeing, getting used to seeing the work that we were going to get into. As soon as we got there that night, it was like 12 midnight. We had just pulled in, and like the pastor came out and he's like, I need like all you guys to come out right now and start dumping some trash. I was like, okay. You know, I was thinking like it was just going to be like, oh, a few bags here and there. No, this man had like garbage containers, like five or six of them. It was ridiculous. And like he was telling us that it was that there were only pears in there. I'm like, man, that ain't no pears. They don't smell like pears. And you know, pear juice. That's what he kept saying that was leaking out of the bags. And no, that wasn't pear juice. But as soon as that happened, I realized, you know, man, it's going to be an interesting trip. And so it was just great seeing all the young people just step into that, you know, and getting their hands dirty the very first night, you know, no complaints. I was shocked. I was like, wow, these are some great young people. And even then, you know, later on in the week, it's just amazing to see how they just grew together as a group. Caleb and JW, man, those are like, they need a round of applause because they were just outstanding workers. Caleb especially took control of some situations, especially when the midnight food runs would come in. Like he would get three or four boys together and they'd go take the food in that was coming off the vans and getting it organized, ready to go for the next day for the food distribution. And it was just really crazy to see them really pull together. And JW, man, that kid's a hard worker. Literally, he was following around the pastor all the time. You know, anything the pastor need, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, he's going to go get it. And even if the pastor said, no, I don't need your help, he's like, I'll help you anyway, you know, kind of thing, you know. He's kind of following him around like a puppy dog almost, but anyway, it was a great experience just seeing all these hard workers, you know, really pull together. And again, you know, I just like to thank all of y'all for giving me the opportunity to just witness all this and help out. And thank y'all.
Hi, I'm Caleb Campbell. I just want to say thank you, Ms. Phyllis, and everybody. It would have been impossible for me to go on this trip. Y'all had all these jobs lined up and let me work it. It was just a really awesome trip. I just want to thank Brother Chad for letting me come on this trip. It was just awesome, and God really showed me on this trip to be thankful for what I have, because usually time we don't say thank you for a lot of stuff. We just get it, and we don't say thank you, and he really showed me on this trip. Be thankful what we got, because, you know, it's just, yeah. So thank you again. So.
All right, I'm just going to share quickly just kind of the two main things the Lord reiterated in my heart being there. I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at first, and then Luke chapter 6, and I'll be quick. But these are just the main things in dealing with talking to people up there. Folks, I know you know this as well as I do, but when you go to a place like that, there are millions of different beliefs. I live in a bubble. I hang out with church people. I don't get around me. You guys probably around more unsaved people than I am. Brother Tommy and Brother Daryl and everyone else in the office, everyone loves the Lord there. And it's just it's a safe environment. And we don't hear a lot of stuff. But when you get out in the world, it is unbelievable what people think and what people believe. And, if you get caught up in all the arguments, if you get caught up in, well, this isn't right, this isn't right, you're not going to do any good. I had this kind of in my mind, as I was coming in this trip, thinking about when I get those opportunities to talk to someone and witness to someone, what would I say? And my heart kept going back to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And that's one thing you got to think about. When you're going to talk to someone, and everybody has issues, everybody has sin in their life and all this kind of stuff, and sometimes we want to focus in on those sins, my eyes were shocked this week. I'm telling you, it started in Philadelphia. We didn't know this, but we were there on Gay Pride Week the whole week. I don't know if it's that way all around the nation or what. It started in Philadelphia. We stopped and got a Philly cheesesteak, and we walked to the Liberty Bell, and we started seeing rainbow after rainbow on people's garments and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just, that's a new world to me, okay? And so we went on to New York. The same thing. You walk down the streets, and all the businesses have rainbows, just showing their support for that. And men walking down holding hands with men. And we saw some of that stuff. And I don't know. There's so much going on. I don't know who all is paying attention to that kind of stuff. Madison Square Gardens. We were right down the street from Madison Square Gardens where this church is. At night, they had Madison Square Gardens lit up in rainbow. Some of the big buildings in New York lit up in rainbow. And it is just a totally different way of thinking than what we are used to and what the Bible says. And so I just kept going back to this. I said, when you're thinking about this, when you're talking to people, the only thing you need to know and the only thing you need to worry about is, do they know Jesus Christ? Because you're never going to win someone to the Lord by arguing with them, debating with them about homosexuality or this or that sin or whatever it may be. You have to get down to the nitty-gritty and say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you relying on him to get you to heaven alone? Have you confessed your sins to him and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's what Paul was saying, because he had the same issues back then. This isn't anything new. This has been around for years, all these different beliefs. And it can be so shocking to us sometimes. But when it gets down to it, a person's problem isn't that they're a homosexual. Their problem is they need Jesus Christ. They need him in their heart. They need him as their Savior. They need to fall in love with him. They need to have a relationship with him. And then he'll clean them up. And that's the same way it is with all of our sin. Whatever sin that me and you struggle with, the same thing for us. We need Jesus Christ. We're all sitting here, we're probably saying we're all saved here, but we still need an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, he will purify our hearts through sanctification. And so that just kept going into my heart and into my mind is, when we talk to our coworkers, when we talk to different people in our lives, it just needs to get down to the point. We're going to have different beliefs, but do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And then look over at Luke chapter 6, verse 27. And this is another thing that really hit me. I got into a good conversation with a young lady at D.C. We were sitting at a Starbucks going to the bathroom. We did that a lot on this trip. And so we had found a Starbucks, and we were waiting on the kids to come out of the bathroom. And this young lady, she was in a yellow shirt that said equality, and she kept trying to stop everybody that walked by and try to get them to talk to them. So finally, I said, I got to go find out what she's up to. So I went and talked to her, and the Lord just kept putting in my heart, be very respectful, be very nice. You know she believes totally different than you, but be very nice to her, be very respectful, and win her over. Now, I didn't lead her to the Lord, but I gave her something to think about. And what she was doing, she was trying to sign people up and raise money for the LGBTQ movement and all that kind of stuff. And she even told me, she said, I'm a Christian. And that's very confusing for me, because if I was trying to say, well, you know, do you take the Bible literally and all that kind of stuff? And if you believe Genesis 1, where God created the heaven and the earth, do you believe what he says about homosexuality and all that kind of stuff? But she didn't want to hear a lot of it. But I tried to stay very respectful and very, very nice. Because you think about this, have you ever won someone over to your way of thinking by getting into an argument or making them mad? It doesn't work that way. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be in you. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit are love. And so I would suggest, and this is something the Lord reminded me about, before I even go to talk to someone about him, I need to love that person. I need to have love in my heart for that person. Even though we believe totally different, totally opposite. They are, and I like what I was hearing a while ago, they are a creation of God. Even though they believe totally different and backwards of what I believe, they are a creation of God, and he loves them. And this is what this says in verse 27. Luke 6, verse 27 says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. And that's some very serious language right there. Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. It's easy for us to love people and be nice to people that love us back. That's easy. But can you love that person that doesn't really like you? Can you love that person that gives you a hard time? That's what he's saying here. And he goes even beyond that. He says, love that person that hates you. There's a lot of people in this world that are beginning to hate Christianity. And it hasn't, you know, it's been like that way in years past. But the tides are turning again, and you all see it. More and more, it's turning against Christianity, and they hate what we stand for. And they hate the fact that we say the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Everyone else is condemned. They hate that. They say, how prideful is that for you to say something like that? How can you say that Jesus is the only way? Well, the only way I can say it is that's what the Bible says. You know, every other thing in the Bible is true. Every other thing is foolproof. Everything that the Bible says, it's accurate about this universe, about this earth, about the stars, moon, and sky. Everything that works, it's proven in the Bible. And so I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins, and he's the only way to heaven. And then verse 28 says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And then skip down to verse 35, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again or return, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be with the children of the Most High. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now think about that. He is kind even to the unthankful and the evil. He says, love your enemies. And I've thought about that. I love politics. I love thinking about all that kind of stuff. And there's some, I look at those people and I say, they believe totally different from me. I get my political views from the Bible, and I think we all should as Christians. But I say, can I love that person, even though I think they're totally backwards and they totally believe something opposite of what the Bible says? Can I love that person? Can I do good to those people? And then also, I want to tell you, we talked a lot about homeless people. And you can't even imagine the amount of people that are laying on the sidewalk in Philadelphia and in New York. And some of them are, you don't know who's real and who's not. Sometimes you can tell this one's legit, okay? And then sometimes there's some younger ones that you're just like, I don't know if they're just trying to get some money. But you know, the Lord tells me, he says, lend to those people who ask. Don't ask questions and don't expect anything in return. And I must have the word sucker written across my head, because I would just give, you know? I would give, but I would try to say, hey, this is from Jesus Christ. He loves you. And I had this one lady, that, I don't know if these were Hindus or what, but in Times Square they were coming up, and they're trying to give you these little trinkets, and they say, good luck, good luck, these little gold trinkets. And I said, no, 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 Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I said, that's not for me. And so this one lady kept being insistent, and I said, ma'am, I don't believe in that. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I said, you should too. I promise you, he's the way. I said, I'm not lying to you. He's the way, okay? And look, you need to look into him. And finally, they go away, you know. But, you know, I believe what these scriptures say, and I believe it works. When you go to people and you live your life with saying, all I know is Jesus Christ saves, him crucified, he's the only way to heaven, and I have love in my heart for you, his creation. He says, love God, two important commandments, love God and love people. And when we are in love with God, we will automatically love people, even those people that don't believe the way we believe. They believe totally opposite of the way we believe, who don't hold Jesus Christ in reverence, who don't put him on a pedestal and confess with their mouth that he is Lord. And we all know that one day everyone's going to do that. And it is a lot better that we do it here now. We confess that he is Lord now with our hearts and our minds and our tongue than have to do it on the day of judgment. So those are the things that the Lord just reiterated in my heart. And I hope that tonight, this evening, was a blessing to you. And again, I love these teenagers. And y'all were such a blessing on this trip. Such a good group of young people. I knew going in this trip it was going to be a great week. We were going to have a smooth, no problems. And that's the way it was. And the Lord blessed tremendously. And I know we all grew out of it together. And we were a blessing. This was kind of the neatest thing for me. Every time we go on a mission trip, we want to be a blessing to the people we go to the ministry that we go to. And that pastor told us two or three times, he said, we could not have gotten ready for this conference without you guys. And every time he would almost tear up. And it made me feel so good. I know it made them feel so good to know that we were such a blessing to him and his family and everybody there that helps him with the ministry. So thank you guys again for all you did for us. This church is so good to us. And we are so grateful. We're blessed. I'm blessed to be the youth pastor here. These teens are blessed to be in this church where you guys take care of them so much. You're so generous. And we took about $17,000 on this trip, and we needed almost all of it. And you guys helped us raise that, and we appreciate it very much. Thank you, Brother Tommy.